Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of a Change in our second hour here. It's a real pleasure, of course, to expand our frontier. We've got two guests that we're going to be hosting in this portion of our show, the first one being Lou Carter from the Best Practice Institute based out of Florida. Hello to you today, Lou.
Hey, Zara. How are you?
Just great. Well, I don't know if you had the chance to web stream in beforehand, but Mark Samuel from MCAT Corporation has set you up perfectly because we were talking about best practice sharing amongst practitioners on the whole topic of accountability. So this is going to be perfect.
That's great to hear.
Excellent. Well, let me give an introduction to Lou for our general listeners here. Lou founded Best Practice Institute in 2001, and it's based on the principles of positive psychology and organizational development, which was the focus of his graduate work at Columbia, which followed actually his economics and government undergraduate work. Quite a combination. BPI has become one of the top associations for leadership and human resource development in the world. Lou has written 8 books on best practices and organizational leadership, and this includes Change Champions and Best Practice book series, as well as his new book, Best Practices in Talent Management, How the World's Best Corporations Attract, Motivate, and Retain Top Talent, which is coming out soon. As an expert in the industry, he has appeared in Business Watch magazine, Workforce magazine, Investors Business Daily, and CIO magazine, and Lou's books, research, and teaching have been translated into over 8 languages across Asia, the Middle East, Europe, North, and South America. He also has taught at such universities as Changjing School of Business in Beijing, Jackson State University, Seton Hall, and several Fortune 500 conferences around the globe. Well, Lou, I have to ask that opening question is, how'd you come upon this idea back in 2001 to start a virtual network of people to exchange knowledge?
Yeah, how did I come up with that? I know, was thrust upon me.
I like that.
Here's what happened, really. I mean, 2001 was an interesting year, obviously, because of September 11th, and I was in Columbia University and living there during 9/11, and I was really motivated because it was so lonely in the city, quite honestly, and I wanted to create a community in and of itself, and I just finished a book with a community at Columbia, and I thought to myself, well, what better time than now to look at best practices, best ways, and best methods of not just organizational transformation, but personal transformation. And there was a lot of people who wanted it, and then thousands came to it and wanted it, and it just became a not only a way to achieve your own personal transformation, but ways for organizations to change as well.
And that kind of a community approach, of course, that was really a prime time in our country to get reconnected in that. You know, of course, there's all sorts of books and writings about social capital and estrangement that people go through, that towns don't have sidewalks anymore, and that people don't have front porches, they only have back porches, or, you know, the moaning that the youngest generation now just texts each other, they don't even talk on the phone. So your thought at the time was really a rally cause to stay anchored in that sense of community.
Yeah, I probably came from myself, too, about wanting to reach out as well, and people also reaching out back to me. We actually created a drumming circle during that time at Columbia, and literally hundreds of people came to campus right after 9/11 because they wanted to see each other. They wanted to touch base and actually feel better being with each other than alone in their apartments or leaving the city. And, you know, we had a good 400 or 500 people come to the campus, and we had a terrific drum circle as well. And that kind of community-based action, it really became a part of what I committed my life to at that point.
I love how you describe what BPI is all about, that it's about setting a culture of growth, innovation, and forward thinking, and how can we be deviant through positive leadership. Grab a hold of that word deviant, meaning really a departure from the other noise that's out there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people look at deviant as though it's something that's negative, right, or it's sort of doing things in an improper way. In this case, positive deviance is really a way to do what other people do poorly, you do best. So and you're different in that way. So an example of that is taken from my friend Jerry Sternin, who actually just recently passed away. He was the director of the Save the Children Foundation in Vietnam and Myanmar. And he helped save thousands of children's lives because he helped them to find the people in the community that were cooking properly or doing the proper nutrition for their children, and had those people teach each other how to better cook for their mm-hmm. families. And there were many, many families that were basically killing their families because of malnutrition and improper cooking techniques. And instead of going in and doing a regular mission approach where you have this white man coming in and teaching you and telling you what to do, he found people in the community who were exceptional mentors and positive deviants who could teach each other. And it's a lot less threatening and had a lot more widespread change.
And that it stuck in place, of course. And that is, I would say, one of the biggest challenges for any of us that are in companies when someone says, okay, now we're going to do a best practice lessons learned session. And everybody says, okay, yep, and are we going to just create more shelfware that nobody else is going to look at after we're done? But your approach is really to grab a hold of people that are on the ground and that can coach really from their heart, right? That this is really about offering their advice as a gift, not necessarily with an expectation, but because of that, it's not a legislative approach.
Exactly. Instead of being a mandate, it mm-hmm. becomes us finding the right people. We do kind of a sniff test in the beginning to find out if it's for real and if they have, in fact, achieved results in the past with actual quantitative tools, which are always helpful. And those range from behavioral change instruments to results instruments, transfer of learning. And just to look at what people have actually achieved rather than it being just this kind of passionate overflow response toward needing to help. We really want to find the people who are positive deviants, people who have done the work, have achieved it, and who have been in these systems over time.
That's great. So if someone would go to the Best Practice Institute website, give us a virtual tour and the type of experts that you're spotlighting at this point in time.
We have a range of experts. There's two different areas that you can look in at BPI. The first is competency-based learning. So that's really about how can I go there to develop as a leader. And we have numerous corporations that have all of their employees on there right now who are considered best practice because they have already in place multi-mode or systemic leadership development systems like Bank of America, Corning, GlaxoSmithKline, American Express. A lot of these companies have already proven their results through leadership development. So competency. So you'll learn such competencies like emotional intelligence, strategic business change. You'll learn big picture thinking, organizational change, all kinds of consensus building, negotiation skills. So that's specific to competency, a set of skills, behaviors, knowledge, attributes. The other is topical areas. So if you're a human resources practitioner, manager, director, a head of leadership development, or in human resources development, you can learn from various disciplines like talent management, succession planning, performance management, organizational change, organizational learning in different domains. And you'll learn from two different kinds of people. The first person kind of person is the actual SVP or VP of leadership development or talent management. And those people are like Greg Waldron, or if you look at Shannon Wallace, who's the head of leadership development at Microsoft, or the head at Motorola. So these are practitioners who have been there, done that. And the others are people who are, best-selling authors like Marshall Goldsmith, or people who have written new books in the industry who come on and teach on specific competencies that they have expertise and domain expertise on.
That's great. And, you started ramping this in 2001, so you're sitting astride 8 or 9 years of growth and development change. What are the hot topics today that perhaps are even surprising you that are catching so much attention based on the membership or the webinar enrollment, or how are you even would measure to know what are the trends and things you want to take the community towards next, Lou?
Yeah. The ones that get in the range of the hundreds, 200s lately have been rewards and recognition. They've been, it's been very well enrolled. Community, a sense of belonging with people like Peter Block. Things like innovation is the hot topic now as well. Courage and on teams and team development, implementing new kinds of systems and processes to develop teams and organizations. So, I mean, if you were to just sort of connect that to macroeconomic trends,
yes,
currently,
exactly.
Or, you know, I think the we had an era where ethics and integrity was pretty important with a lot of the scandals that were happening, and we went through that competency, and we went through another competency of emotional intelligence when we started seeing sort of the Madoff era. And sort of calming down the amygdala response of how we're angry and upset about our current state.
Sure.
And all this, you know, sort of negative ethical dilemmas that we're sort of not delighted to see before us. So it's a little upsetting to us. So EI and ethics and integrity were and still are in there in terms of macroeconomic. But as we move into sort of this new era, a sort of upswing of looking at newer kinds of approaches toward transforming and becoming part of our team and wanting to make change within our team and our organizations, we're delving more into the personal skills again. So, you know, we want to look at how do we reward employees, how do we recognize them, how do we keep them entrenched on the team and toward goal and toward their own productivity measures. And also, what do we do to build business? Business development is huge right now. And so what are we doing to approach and engage with customers, understand them better, and make our organizations reflect them more?
Yeah, that's what's done. You mentioned the numbers of people that sign up for these webinars and your services is extraordinary. Is that a global connection? Do you have people from overseas that are participating in the offerings?
We do. The Middle East, we have a pretty good presence in the Middle East right now. So there's a huge time difference there. It's a good,
sure.
Obviously it's like 14 hours or so. And also in Asia, so we have to actually do that during the evenings for China and Thailand. But we really do keep this specific to North America with Canada and the United States because of the time zones.
That's right. Just for our listeners, a reminder, I'm speaking with Lou Carter, who's the founder and leader of the Best Practice Institute, that based, actually virtually, we'll call it, although he's personally down in Florida. So, Lou, your studies in the positive psychology area really is at the root of establishing this community. How have you found the experts that you've gotten engaged? Is this something they just came naturally wired with?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's funny because there's a lot of people in this space, it's flooded with people, hundreds and hundreds of people, as you know, more than that. And it's really important to find people that I know that have worked within these organizational systems. I mentioned that before about positive deviance, positive change. I'm really careful to find people that have either published significant research or books in the field and have been inside of systems. So I really look to my best practice organizations. I look at books that publishers send me that they want me to find out about. So it's really more of a model where it's given to me, and I do a little bit of reaching out, but it really does come across my desk more so than not.
Well, in fact, we can both speak to that pretty transparently because you and I have a common acquaintance, and that's even how we got connected, is Teresa Roach from Agilent was kind enough to say, hey, you two need to talk, and here we end up then, so many neurons connect. In particular, my focus and attraction to BPI, of course, is the focus on equipping those who are leading change, because that is a pretty lonely place to be. You know, back to your comment about being lonely in your apartment in New York after 9/11, those of us that love to be pioneers and don't have any fear about going in where no man has ever gone before to take on those snarly assignments, there are days, though, when you step back and you say, what have I done? So knowing you've got a community to lean upon is very, very important.
It is. I mean, Teresa is a good example of that. As the CLO of Agilent Technologies, she's been a leader in bringing together the community and really giving them a safe place to learn. And that's when Teresa was on our board, our senior executive board, and she was really a leader of that board, in that she helped foster this sense of safety and belonging, and she still does this day.
Isn't that interesting that you should pick that up, because our who just preceded you, Mark Samuel, that's exactly what we were talking about, is employee engagement through this aspect of safety and a self-learning environment. It was perfect. Did you two talk beforehand?
I guess not. Maybe we did.
But maybe you should. That's exactly right. Maybe you should. Well, success stories, you know, why someone would want to, you know, extend the effort, time, and resources to join BPI. Can you cite some examples of things you've seen as a result of your providing this forum?
There's a lot of things that people say. That if you asked sort of a random sample set, you'll have all different answers in terms of why they invest. A lot of large corporations invest because they get access to experts that they'd never have access before, and they actually have conversations one-on-one, and we set up that kind of intimate approach so they feel really comfortable in engaging and work with them. And we also set up sort of the research behind it that helps them build a business case for change. So instead of just saying, I have an idea and I want to sort of put it up the flagpole, or I want to tell my CEO, or I am the CEO and I want to tell my board, or I'm the board and I want to tell my CEO,
sure,
there's a reason behind it. Looking at our research, looking at the effects that we've had already in organizations and they've had over time, and being able to engage directly with a thought leader in talking about how they've changed over time and how they've inculcated the culture so that they can create change is in their words, hugely valuable to them. And I think if you talk to any number of them, they'd tell you the same.
I think also it brings some objectivity at the same time, that you can get some of the emotion out of the way, particularly to spotlight others that have been on that journey you've been on before.
Exactly. The value of the network is huge. When we talk about people who are on these boards, when they come in, they're making deals with Value Chain Alliance members. They're finding customers in the room at the top level of large organizations. So you could imagine a Johnson & Johnson, Best Buy, Agilent, GlaxoSmithKline, Hewlett-Packard in the room. You're literally representing at any one moment over a million employees with the people who lead these people. So the change that happens in these rooms is enormous, and it does happen. Obviously, it's confidential, but the economy has changed within the realm of 1 to 2 days, and that's an exciting thing for me, too.
Well, again, and many of our listeners here may not be with large organizations that would choose to join as a company membership, but you offer individuals access as well, such that regardless of the size of your firm, there's such an easy avenue for learning here.
It really is. That's the thing about BPI, is that we're not just exclusive to large organizations. Any individual can come on right now. Even if you go on the website, you can get access for the entire year to our entire archives, all of our online webinars live throughout the year. We have over 57 live webinars. Everything is associated with one CEU, so you can get credit towards your HR generalization or your general exam. And also, you get access to hundreds of our archives, which are also available for CEUs, and all of our research as well. And it's all available for one price. So it sounds like an infomercial. It's not, though. It really is available to any individual if you go to bpiworld.com or bestpracticeinstitute.org. Sorry, Zara, for the plug there.
No, no, that was my intention, because I think, again, that's the mission of our show, Lou, is that there's a lot of us out there that are grappling constantly with change, and whether that be individual career change or organizational change. And even for those who might be deeper in organizations and not feel that they're in a leadership capacity, I guarantee you in this day and age, all of this information is so important for people to grab hold of, just like we talked before you with Mark Samuels about the idea of accountability and other previous shows on playing to people's giftedness and also opening their eyes to having a lot more power and control than they perhaps in the past have known to realize that they have.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no doubt. When you go online, you'll notice that, and you'll come to our weekly sessions or go to the archives or look at the research. This is the kind of work that you can use not only for personal change but also within your company. So you know, use it. Take advantage of it. You'll notice it right away. So, yeah.
Well, Mark, you, Lou, you established your organization back in 2001 and saw this growth spurt. Of course, the advent of the web and webinars and social media and so on is right on top of your probably already having pretty solid content base. But have you seen thus a significant uptake in terms of people being able to engage these days?
Yeah. Do you mean in terms of online people coming
exactly,
in?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. We've had a much larger membership base in the past year than we have ever before. And we send out to 47,000 for our e-journal subscribers, but we've grown a lot more than that because of places like, obviously, LinkedIn and Facebook, and those groups are building right now, too. And people are really interested, and they're engaging in dialogue around what is a best practice, is there such thing as a best practice, and what does it mean for us, and talking about how it's useful for things like corporate espionage or things like how can we apply it to our company, is it really applicable to our company, and they're really talking about big issues that are really, they're macroeconomic. These are issues that are changing our economy, that are changing people's way of interacting inside of large organizations or individually for people who are branching out and doing their own consultative work.
Well, and also I think you raise a very good point, and is that which was a best practice in the past may not be a best practice today, and that probably that half-life is getting shorter and shorter, that organizations need to step up and recognize a much more contemporary approach.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's sort of this half-life is becoming, can we keep our employees anymore?
Exactly, yeah.
And people are leaving. They want to make their own money. They want to be entrepreneurs. They want the home-based business, and they want to be able to go to work in their pajamas. And I think that's where we've gotten the most influx is people leaving large organizations out of wanting to be their own boss and saying, can we go back in from the outside and then look toward your large organizations who need the help, who are the people who are still in these ships that we just left for one reason or the other. And the way that we really come together is bringing those two sets of people together.
Interesting. So if you step back and look at this, you know, 8 or 9 year journey you've been on, what have been some of your biggest ahas over this time, Lou?
Yeah. Big ahas. You know, it's been different throughout time. I think the first aha is how did I get into this field? How did this happen? And the answer to that has been it's got to be some larger reason or calling, because every year that we've done this, we've had some sort of spiritual component to our meetings. And so it's something about wanting to be together, wanting to be in community that it comes about for every year, for everybody. And so one of the biggest ahas is that it goes back to the times of like T cell research that we had done with like the Institute for Heart Math. We'd known about from the Institute of Heart Math and with Dr. Barry Bittman and the drum circle research he had done. And, you know, I think people seek balance and good health. And I think that's really one of the big things that have come to me is that we're really running a community for balanced good health and for good companies to come forth and say, this is the way to do it. And we need to protect ourselves and make choice for what we want rather than what we don't want in our lives.
Excellent.
So that's one of the biggest ones for me is that I really do feel an obligation to keep the community together. And because that's what I think it's really needed, and it's my choice to take on that.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful calling. Well, again, my guest for this half an hour was Lou Carter from Best Practice Institute. So check out bestpracticeinstitute.org. Thanks for joining us, Lou, and stay tuned, folks, for the next half an hour.
Thank you, Zara.
You bet. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.